Well, praise God. Come on, Dad, and share with us this morning. We get a treat to get to hear. You guys get a bigger treat because it's him, but also another voice. Hallelujah. Corey's giving me the look. Hallelujah. He's worthy of praise, isn't he? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm glad. I always say this, but I'm glad he's my dad. Hallelujah. Couldn't be a better father, a better dad in the whole wide world. Now, I know other kids might think the same way, but this is my privilege to be able to say that. Hallelujah. And, you know, I get the great privilege. Most people, especially kids today, they do not understand this. But I not only get the privilege of having a great natural father, and he's been a great spiritual father. Even though he moved away from me in 1983, I've never forgotten. But I've listened to so many of his messages that made imprints in my life that, you know what? It changed me. It changed me forever. And that's because God knows how to put people in the right families. And the reason he does that for, it's not for a natural lineage, which has its place. But more importantly, it's for the kingdom of God. Amen. So I know he's papa to most of us and dad and the whole works. But the reality really is, he is a man of God. And the thing I like about him, me personally, and I like to model myself after him in this way. Where a lot of folks are always trying to make a name for himself, God had a purpose not to let him get a name. And it goes with me too. Because I'm telling you, I believe it more than ever, that God is going to take things out of obscurity. Whether it's in our generation is irrelevant. But the word will become alive. And it's going to be because God chose a people that only wanted one thing, and that was him. Amen? It wasn't about natural riches, natural names, naturals, all that. It was all about God's word being fulfilled. Amen? Amen.
Love you,
Dad.
Well, I don't know how you're supposed to follow all that. And it always is a privilege to come back to Port Huron and, you know, visit what the natural man would say, your old stomping grounds. And it's a privilege. It's absolute privilege to always come back. And most of all, it's come back, it's family. Not only family, but it's family in God. And we always pray as God would increase the numbers. Another thing I like when I come here is he has a stool. So I get to sit down. And the amazing thing about sitting down is if it was what mom always, or Fran always tries to do is she would like to get a camera in here so that we'd be able to see his face when we listen to his messages. So my privilege is, to me, he's my favorite preacher. So that's just one of those things. I don't know if that's just something that he's got the word of the Lord. God has blessed him to begin to see and hear and know what God is really after. So I'm happy to be here. I'm going to share just a little bit. I don't know how long I'm going to take. It all depends on how the Holy Ghost begins to flow here as I sit here. But I want to talk a little bit about what God's put in my heart for the year. And I think the one thing the church has really missed on. The Bible says that without a vision, King James Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. One of the better translations is, without vision, not a vision, but without vision, the people take off restraint. In other words, what they do is they lose sight of what God's really after. And the majority of people have no idea why Jesus ever came, or what the purpose was, or where he came from. Okay. And I don't know whether I want to jump into that, but I think I'd like to say this. The thought that God has been putting in my heart is the fact that God, when we talk about God, we think he comes from someplace. And the truth of the matter is, God comes out of God. He is everything. At the same time, he absolutely is nothing. Nothing you can see, nothing you can smell, nothing you can touch, nothing you can envision in your mind, because all of that he is beyond. I always like the scripture. I quote the scripture a lot out of Ephesians 3. He is able to do. So if he can do, he already is. You can't do any more than what you can think. You can't do any more than what you're capable of. But the Bible says he is able to do exceedingly. Exceedingly. That doesn't mean just a little bit better than you, but exceedingly means no matter how much you grow in intelligence, no matter, and let me throw this in here. There was a little discussion I heard in the house about, for those of you who listen a little bit, AI. And what that is intelligence that's built out of a human-made thing. And they think that they're going to have this intelligence that goes beyond human beings. It's called artificial intelligence. But the issue is, God's intelligence is real. And it's beyond all of that. And so God said, he had Paul say this by the Spirit, he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above what you can ask or think. So no matter how educated you are, how far you go into what you call artificial intelligence, God's intelligence goes beyond all of that. He's over all of that because he created all things with a word. And he uses that to control absolutely everything. Everything is under his control. All of this crazy notion that the church has brought up about there's this battle between God and the devil. I hate to tell you that, but my Bible tells me that there was a serpent in the garden and God made him. Well, what did he put him there for? Testing. Yeah, that's what Dale does. He goes to work, and what do they do there? They develop that by testing. They test something to see if it works. Okay? God made man, made Adam, and what he was trying to do, he already knew what he was going to do. You couldn't hide from God what Adam was going to do. When Adam fell, when Eve went and ate of that tree, that didn't sneak up on God. There was no surprise, Because he already had a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. He had everything in preparation. He was the God of all. And the God of all creation. And so when we begin to think about this, this Jesus that the church has made by religion is not the Jesus that really was. Because he's greater than that. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you can only, whatever you can ask or think, whatever you think you should be able to do, or at least attempt to do. But God's beyond that. He's beyond that thought. He's beyond all of those things. We come to this church today and we got an idea of what we should do. We know who we are connected to, but we really don't know why. We don't understand his full understanding, his full purpose, fully what he wants. Without the vision, the people cast off restraint, one translation says. And God is after us that we get ourselves focused in him and don't cast off restraint. And God knows we can't do it all at once. So he, bit by bit, just like he put Adam and Eve in the garden, okay. He said all the trees in the garden were good for food, including the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. It was a good tree to eat of. When she ate of it, she saw that it was good to see. It was good to eat. The key about the whole thing was God had said, don't eat of it. Probably later on, sometime in their development, maybe they'd have been able to eat of it. But what God was trying to establish in their life is life. The tree of life. The tree of life, and it wasn't life like we got. We have existence. God gives life. Real life. It's more than just existence. I don't know about any of you. I'm a firm believer that God never destined his man to die. If he took on God's life, he couldn't die. But all we've ever seen is sickness and disease and death. And so we generate an idea that makes us feel good. We watch people die. And then we tell stories about what it's like on the other side. We don't know. We've never been there. We have no idea what it's like. We have no understanding of all of those things. But we do know one thing. God himself came in the person of Jesus Christ. And he began to display what God was really like if he became a human. Isn't it amazing? Why didn't he come to be a dog or a cat? People are crazy nowadays. They think more dogs and cats than they do of people. We live in an area where we have a lot of problems in our neighborhoods with black bears. Had one up on my deck. But they won't let you do anything about the bear in your yard, even if he's bothering you. My Bible says that God made all of that for man. They do tell me that bear tastes like pork. But it's the same thing. I always chuckle when I go down to the little market down in our neighborhood, and they got posted on the bulletin board outside, lost cat. Or a lost little dog. The first place I'd go looking is where the coyotes hang out. But man, see, is lost in his mind. He don't understand that you and I were made for one thing and one thing only. And that's to carry the nature of God in our lives. Every moment. to transform us, to change us, to bring us into a full dimension of what God's want. When he showed up, what did they say? What did the shepherds say? And the angels sang, peace on earth, goodwill to men. That was a little over 2,000 years ago. What's it been like? Are you listening? There we understand the purpose. Peace on earth. Goodwill to men. But guess what? Till man decides he's going to have goodwill and peace with God so he can have peace with one another. You hear me? So my thought this year is, my thought this year for our church has been this. The Lord gave me the thought out of Hebrews 6. Let us go on. Not just go on to perfection. I know that's what the scripture says. But the key is, let us go on. Too many of us are satisfied with status quo. Too many of us are satisfied with our relationship with God the way it is. Too many of us are able to get too busy about the world around us. Are you listening? And I know Dale's been constantly talking about this corporate man, this corporate son, which is absolutely true. But God's purpose is not just a few. God's purpose is the harvest of the earth. Till everybody, till it becomes whosoever will. Are you listening? God said, it's whosoever will may come. What happens if you don't will? Well, he'll allow you to get around into situations where you wish you did. That's how God works. So if you got your Bibles, let me see, what time is it here? I'll talk a little bit. I've decided to share a little bit. I wanted to go into Melchizedek. Dale mentioned Melchizedek on Wednesday night. You talk about Melchizedek. Maybe I'll share a little bit of that because I began this with God. But the thing about God is, he's beyond comprehension. He's really beyond. You might as well make up your mind. You cannot figure him out. Because just about the time you think God figured out, he'll develop another part of himself that you don't know anything about. Say, God is unlimited. There's no limits to God. You can't limit him in a little place. That's why it's such a deception to say that God lives in heaven. Oh, did that get quiet now? God don't live in heaven. God lives outside of heaven. God never doesn't live inside of what he made. He can occupy in what he made, but that can't hold him because he's outside of that. Even the fact that Jesus, when Jesus ascended, the Bible says in Hebrews, the Bible says he passed through the heavens. So you can't say he's in heaven. That's a place. That's a created realm. That's a dimension of God. But God moves beyond all of that. The heavens are the Lord's heavens. You know what? If he just spoke, he'd create some more. Are you listening? He could make more earths if he wanted to. God is so far beyond. And his intellect is so far beyond. And his intelligence is so far beyond. You know, I listened to some of the people that are so worried about AI. And I thought, yeah, just what? God, the Bible says the wisdom of man is less than the foolishness of God. So God, he's a jokester, you know. Just about the time artificial intelligence thinks it's going to get something, God will pull the electrical plug and that'll be the end of it. That's what he'll do. Or he'll shut down a powerhouse. And that'll be the end. He has ways, beloved, because he's over everything. The minute we come to the realization that God wants us to realize that he's over us, whether we pay attention or not. He's large and in charge. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John. I'm going to begin at home. I did begin at home this week on our Thursday night services. I'm going to go through the epistles of John. And I thought, I've been praying because I knew that he was going to ask me to speak, and I had nothing, absolutely nothing. And I woke up in the middle of the night last night, and I felt that this was the direction God wanted me to go. So I don't know how far I'm going to get. So if you got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John. I'll share as I go along. I want to exegete. When you exegete, it's more of a teaching dimension. It's really reading the scripture and digging in and commenting on it. And so one of the things we've got to realize, we know, I got to say this, let me say this about the epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Nowhere in the context of the writings does it declare who the author is. Can I say that again? Nowhere in the context of the epistles does it say who the author is. But from the earliest ages, they credited these epistles to John. We all know who John is. He's the one who wrote Revelation. And also, he's the one who laid his head on Jesus' chest. John was also the one who the other disciples said that Jesus said he wasn't going to die. That's the last chapter of the Gospel of John. But John lived after these three epistles to write the book of Revelation. And it was sometime in the same time period, somewhere between 54 and 59 A.D., that he wrote these epistles. And also, nowhere in the context of these epistles does it say who he wrote them to. There's no church. There's no peoples other than in the writing of the first epistle, he does say little children. Then he writes to fathers. He writes to young men. And the word for little children that's used or translated in the King James is technon. A lot of times that word is used for like teenagers. But it basically is used for children when it means that they've become related, or there is a relationship there. And so we got to understand that John doesn't write this specifically to one people. He writes this to believers. Are you listening? So if he wrote it to believers, it's written to us. Have you got that? Okay. Let's begin to read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, okay? I got a question for you. When was the beginning? Let's just stop a little bit. I would sooner have you think than just read this thing over and not understand the thought behind the words. From the beginning. What beginning? For God had no beginning, and he had no end. He just is, was, and will be. That word is translated primarily out of the old Hebrew. He which was, he which is, and he which is to come. Better translated is, God is, will be, and he'll become whatever he decides to be. Just think about that. I'm trying to give you a bigger picture of this God we have to deal with. He's bigger than the human mind can comprehend. So from the beginning, when was the beginning? Well, let's read on a little bit. Maybe we'll find it. From the beginning which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. What started this whole thing? God spoke and it came into being. Think about that. If you read the first chapter of the book of Genesis, it gives us somewhat of a picture. I know Genesis says it this way, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. I have a question. Who put the earth there to get it without form and void? So there was a beginning before the beginning. Have you got what I'm trying to say? There was a beginning before the beginning. God began to speak, and out of his speaking came forth. I always liked, what was that, friend? Was it, it just struck me. Proverbs, let me try if I can find it. See if I can find this. Proverbs. Chapter 8. Was that verse 22? Oh, yes, I love this. This is it. Listen to this. The Lord possessed me in the beginning. Are y'all listening? The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Say, before anything was, God possessed the Word. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning over all the earth. Just think about it. Because the last word in that first chapter and chapter 1 of John is, it's talking about the Word of life. Say, when God speaks, it produces life. I was chuckling. I was looking at Joshua this morning, or Judges this morning, when, because Dale keeps using this scripture about Gideon and all the conditions of that whole situation. And if you really read the beginning of the sixth chapter, you'll find out why they were under the control of the Midianites. Okay? It was because they were leaving God. God had blessed them. God had done all of that. And so guess what God did? He raised up the Midianites. How many know who the Midianites were? Abraham's seed from Keturah. And guess what they were? Guess what their names mean? Strife and confusion. Can you imagine what happens when people leave God? All you have is strife and confusion. The house goes wrong. Everything breaks. The well goes bad. The sewer plugs up. Are y'all listening to me? And if you really go back to the source, it's because you leave the purposes of God, what God really wants you to do, what God really has destined you to do. Okay, let me go on. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, even forever in the earth was. And there were no depths. I was brought forth. And when there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, and before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth. Think about this. So this is way before Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, the earth was without form and void. That's Genesis 1:1. We got to go way back beyond all of that. Before the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. Think about that. When he set the compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment or his word. Say God, the word controls everything. When he appointed the foundations of the earth. What are the foundations of the earth? You take your cycle and don't leave it. You put man on you and let him be abundant. I got a question for all of you. Why were you born when you were born? Are you listening? Why weren't you born 2,000 years ago? The Spirit's eternal. Why weren't you born black, yellow, pink, green? Some other country, some other place, some other whatever. Why? See, we take so much for granted. We don't understand that God, in his eternal understanding, appoints things the way he wants them. What matters is how we respond to his appointment. If you read out of Acts 17, you'll find out that the only reason you were put on the planet is so that you may seek after him, you might feel after him and find him. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth. Say there's places on the planet you don't want to live. Try Antarctica. You might want to visit there, but you may not want to stay. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. Now listen to this. Listen to this. He's talking. This is the living word talking. And my delights were with the sons of men. Are you listening? What is the word of God's delight? It's to dwell in a people. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed, say blessed. Blessed. Are not cursed, blessed are they that keep my ways. Let's go back to 1 John. Let me read this verse again. That which was from the beginning, say when God started, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He wasn't talking about he was just the word. He was the word. He was the source of God giving life. Can you imagine this? God sent his word in the form of Jesus. Are you listening? Those 12 men that walked with him saw more than a man, a prophet, saw more than a miracle maker. They saw more than somebody who could just heal the sick, raise the dead, do all of those things. They got to see the eternal word of God in a physical form. Do you hear me? Do you understand now what God is after in your life? It isn't your reasoning, your ideas, your stuff.
Hallelujah.
It's that God wants his word that was manifested in Jesus to become manifested in your life. Are you listening? What time is it? Verse 2, for the life was manifested. See what we do primarily, beloved, this is it. What we do is we primarily love information. You want to know why? We love information because we think if we can think it, we possess it. Just because you think it, doesn't mean you possess it. Are you listening to me? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, the whole creation, say everything that God made, not just the earth, all the things on the earth, but the whole creation. When God began to talk, everything came into being. We don't know if he made the earth first or he made all the other stuff. I know one thing. He made light and it took 4 days for the sun to come out. You see how far up God goes? He goes beyond. He's out there. For the life was manifested. Romans says that the whole creation groans, say birth pangs. I don't know about you, but all you mamas that had babies, you all know what it is. I've been in the maternity ward a few times, and I hear yelling, screaming, groaning. Yeah, you hear all of that too. And you wonder what it's all about. But it's life being produced, becoming manifest. Say the earth is groaning and travailing along with everything else God made for one thing and one thing only. The manifestation of the sons. That's the corporate man. God is after a multitude of people just like him. And guess how it's getting done? The same way it got done. The Bible says, and the Spirit of God hovered over Mary Say, God, come on me until I'm impregnated with everything in your life. And one thing I find out about, under God-controlled conditions, sooner or later, that baby's going to come out. Just think about it. It's a pattern. For the life was manifested. Now listen to what John has to say here. And we saw it. If Jesus or an angel showed up in this room right now, we'd probably pee our pants. If we recognized him. Here's usually what happens in a situation like that. He usually comes and expresses himself exactly opposite of the way we're thinking. Think about this. Here's this man named Gideon. Okay. It's gotten so bad that all the men in his city are worshiping some false god. And he's such a chicken that he's down in the wine press threshing wheat. He's making bread. You know what? You can't stay drunk all the time. So he's down threshing wheat, hiding from the Midianites. And the angel shows up and says, hey, chicken lover, you know what God calls you? You're a mighty man of God. He's looking around to see who he's talking to. Say, God always interrupts our thought life, the way we think, the way we do, to get his purpose finished. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. I love eternal life. You want to know why? Because when we as living people and we as Christians talk about eternal life, you know what we think about? We think about just living forever, going that way. But eternal life isn't that way. Eternal life had no beginning. And eternal life has no end. And when God speaks, he doesn't speak out of the past. Or does he speak into the future? He speaks in the now. You put it to work when you need to. Are you listening? That eternal life. I always love what Jesus said. You want eternal life? I'm going to tell you what eternal life is. Knowing the Father. Eternal life has nothing to do with time. Eternal life has to do with who you're connected to. It show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. I'm willing to bet we get into this season where God's people begin to put on life. Full life, eternal life. There's going to be a whole masses of the planet say, that's what I want. That's what I want. Yeah, they'll come. That's what I'm expecting. I've always said that 90% of the stuff the church does when it comes to what they call evangelism is a waste of effort. Because if you have to start a program to get them in, you're going to need a program to keep them. But I want to tell you what, we'll keep them. Isaiah said it this way, arise and shine, for your light has already come, and the glory of God has risen upon you. And he said, darkness is on the people. Say, they're dark. Never know where it is. Dale says this a lot. but it's true. It's light and dark on the earth at the same time. I always said this way. They've told me ever since I've been in church, look up. But if I think about the people in China and they're looking up, they're looking the wrong direction. Or maybe I'm looking the wrong direction. Because it's light and dark at the same time. All depends on where your position is. And God said, arise and shine. When he talks about arise and shine, he's talking about a people that shine in darkness. And he said, they'll come. They'll come. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for a people that can arise, that can shine. The glory of God is risen upon them. Say, what else do we need? Listen, if you got the Holy Ghost, what more do you need? You know, 90% of the church preaches? We got to wait till Jesus comes back. Because he didn't fix it the first time. He'll fix it when he comes back. That's not true. When he said it was finished, it was finished. So now, what's the finished? The finished work's got to be worked out in us and through us until we shine like he shined. I said this to a bunch of young people the other week. We had some young people over to our house and they got talking about some of these things. And I said, well, what do you get the Holy Ghost for? And they said, so we'd be like Jesus. I said, at which point in his existence do you want to be like? Do you want to be like the one that walked on the shores of Galilee? Or do you want to be the one that walked for those 40 days in resurrection life afterwards? Or do you want to be like what Jesus said in John 17 when he prayed to the Father? And he said, Father, now glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the worlds was. Can we go back to Proverbs chapter 8? He was with him. He was the expression of him. He was everything. His delight was in the sons of men. He was the Word. He is the Word. He's the living Word. He's the only life-giving Spirit. So if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if it dwell in you, it will make alive your mortal body. A mortal body is one that's about to die, not one that's already dead. He will make alive your mortal body. I'm more concerned that the Lord Jesus in the Holy Ghost begins to manifest out of me than I am him coming back to manifest to me. That's what it's all about, beloved. Let me see. What time is it, Dale? I'm getting hungry. Oh, let's see. I need two more verses. Can you put up with me for two more verses? That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. See what it's all about? How will they know God's in our midst? How we love one another. How we fellowship with one another. How we relate with one another. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Okay, I'm going to finish with this verse. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The only reason I'm here and declaring this to you today is I want your joy to be full. Because the joy of the Lord Hear it? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Numbers chapter 10. But I'm going to tell you what. I had a preacher friend of mine years ago used to say it this way. When we're strong, the Lord rejoices. Say, God wants us to be full of His strength, and He can rejoice. Father, I just thank You today. I thank You for those that are here, Father, under the sound of my voice. And I pray, God, that You'll quicken their hearts. Cause them to understand, Father, until we behold You in all Your glory. Lord, until we expect what You want to do in our lives. Father, the eternal purpose that Your wisdom, God, will be up and out of those who are called the church. Father, have Your way in this. We pray, God, for this house. We pray for this area, God. Let there be a quickening and an outraying of Your presence, God, that will cause the multitudes to come, that we may manifest the life of Christ in every situation we pray. And everyone said, happy birthday, Tiff. I'm done, Dale.
Well, praise the Lord. Let's stand. Thank You, Jesus. I only want to, you know, he said, I have three things that He really stuck out for me today. And I will, you know, I just, you know, let them simmer a little bit. But, you know, when He talked about Gideon down in the wine press, and the reason he was down there, because there's so much strife and so much. And, you know, and if you didn't catch what he meant, why you can't be drunk all the time. And some folks think that, you know, just, you know, this spiritual thing of, you know, what we've made it in the church, I'll call it religious activity more than anything. But we need real bread. Real bread. But the interesting thing is, I recently read an article that it was about the division we have in our country. And I'll simplify it between the Republicans and the Democrats. And you think I'm talking politics, but I'm really not. When I read the article, it reminded me of the church. And the Russian counterintelligence is spending all their time trying to divide our country. And the reason they are is they know that if we will stay divided, that we can be controlled. And so most of the stuff, they actually were involved in the election. But it wasn't because they were colluding with Trump, is they were doing it to divide a nation. And if we forget, they may say they're not communists, but it has nothing to do. It's because we live in a natural realm. We totally underestimate spirits. And I like the fact that he talked about artificial intelligence, because we've talked about counterfeits all the time. And what man is really trying to do is to artificially create a God mind and get people to believe it. And yet all along, that artificial mentality is only dividing a people, watch this, not only away from God, but within one another. And what God really wants is a people that he's called mighty men of valor to bring forth a bread, a loaf, that can make a people alive. Change the globe. Amen? I don't know all what's there, but we get so caught up in what we hear and see. And watch, I'm telling you, the apple of the eye for the 21st century is technology. That's why I believe Apple has a bite out of it, is because we'd rather know human life than God life. And it's so prevalent in the church, folks, that they can't even see their real purpose. And this is what the enemy wants to do. Look, you know what the Russians did? Interesting, the guy used this in the article. They just wanted to sow discord. What's one of the things that God hates? Discord. I don't think, you know, he had no clue I was even thinking these things, and he mentioned these three things without it. Counterfeits. Artificial. Can't be drunk all the time. We as church folks would just be happy, sing, have a good time all the time. I tell you what, I'm not young. I've done it ever since I was a boy. And it's good, but it hasn't changed what's really necessary. Because most of the folks I started out with, they're not here anymore. Just saying. Not trying to be mean. But when you're young, we talk tough. Gonna live forever. Got the word of God. But let me tell you, it's still his purpose, but it will never change until we change. Amen? Just something to think about. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, praise the Lord. Here's your water, Dad.